She's doing porn again.
Okay, so you can't, like, chug a beer out of a solo cup.
No.
Neither can I. I was the worst on my rugby team at chugging beers. I never won anything. Like, they do a contest where you have to, like, whoever finishes chugging first. Anyway, hi. You're listening to After Adult.
I'm Rachel.
I'm Adrienne. You may also know me as the porn performer Siri Doll. Check us out on the internet. Our website is afteradult.com. You can follow us on Twitter at afteradultpod and on Instagram afteradult. Today, we don't have a guest. Our guest is our brains.
Oh, God. God help us all.
So we are going to revisit. We kind of did a similar episode to this before, but now we've got some new material to discuss. But we want to talk about... Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, we're going to talk about body image, but, like, the truth is, this will probably be a topic we come back to as long as we're doing this show, because your relationship to your body changes so much throughout time.
That's true. Like, it's always relevant.
Like, my relationship to my body has changed in the past, like, 2 months versus where I was, like, and then in the pandemic, and then, like... So many things have changed and shifted. Your relationship to your body changes every day. So why shouldn't we talk about it more than once?
Quarterly.
Once.
At least once a year.
Once a quarter.
On the podcast.
Once a quarter we shall talk about this.
I'm glad that you brought up the pandemic, Rachel, because that's definitely relevant for, I think, most people, because I feel like most of us, and probably listeners could agree with this, have had some changing ideas around body image or, you know, the way that we relate to our bodies because of being stuck inside all the time. You know, it's just like it comes with the kind of the boredom and the stir craziness of everything being shut down. And, like, no, you can't. For me, it was for a while, like, I couldn't work out. So I had to start figuring out how to do that at home. Like,
For me, it was like, so actually less of like the pandemic and more just being with Jude, who, like, I would describe myself pretty hardcore indoor kid. like, I was...
Is that like, you know, an indoor cat? Are the premises similar? Like, could we just...
Similar. I like to lie in the sun for 20 hours. No, like, I just mean, you know, I like to, like, read inside, and I like, you know, outside is fine. I have a healthy respect for those people who like to be outside all the time. I'm not one of them. I like climate control. My mom likes to tell this story where even when I was a baby, if I got too hot, I would yell my head off.
Wow.
And, like, until I was no longer clothed, and then I was fine.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
So, but, like, being with Jude, my perspective on that has changed, which also changes my relationship to my body, just because we go outside more, we kayak, we hike.
Yeah, Jude's a little more outdoorsy.
He's a little more outdoorsy. So, like, before, when I would be active, it wasn't necessarily, I was not going into nature and being active. It was very much a, like, concerted effort. Like, I'm going to the gym on this day, this morning, or I'm going to this class, or I'm doing something. And I still do that. I still kind of do that. like, if it's offered online, I'll try it.
Yeah, well, the options are more limited now because of COVID.
Yeah. Yeah, I canceled my yoga membership because it's not as much fun when you're not in person. And by not as much fun, I mean I have a pre-existing injury. And so doing yoga, if I do it wrong, I can hurt myself and then I can't do other stuff. If I'm not doing something right, and I was pretty new to it to begin with, so
You gotta pick and choose.
But going like outside to do things, to do physical activity or like biking, like going to bike to get coffee or bike to, you know, wave hi to a friend.
Yeah.
It's like that has changed my idea of what being active can be.
Yeah.
Which has changed my relationship to my body.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. Change your relationship to your body in what way specifically?
I think in a much more positive way. Like the only thing I can think of is like the last song on Fiona Apple's album, which I love, is like there's a lyric in it that says like, now I only move to move.
Got it. Okay.
So like I'm not, and you know, she's had issues with like disordered eating. Like she's pretty open about it. Which is what I think it's about. She did a whole article about it. I could double check, but you know, that's what I think of when I hear that, like, I'm not moving so that I can try to lose weight or change something about my body. I'm moving more in like a celebration of my body.
Moving for the sake of movement because you can, and because it feels nice and it can be fun.
Which, like, I think my relationship to my body is just a little bit different than, like, your average 29-year-old's, because I've had, like an injury where I was just, like, in bed.
Yeah.
And had to, like, do physical therapy, and, like, I didn't have to, like, when I say I'd had to relearn to walk upstairs, I don't mean, like, in physical therapy, I don't mean that I couldn't walk and I couldn't walk upstairs, but like the physical therapist would be like, people don't walk upstairs correctly. They don't walk up in a way, they don't walk up and downstairs in a way that's actually like good for their body.
In general?
Like in general, most
don't?
People, what? Yeah, like in general. So it's not like I was relearning to walk, though in some cases I was relearning the correct posture to walk so that I didn't aggravate my injury. It's just that I was thinking more intentionally about the way I walk. So I go through a lot of my life being more intentional about the way that I move my body, because I've been through that and it does flare up. You know, for the most part now, it's in a manageable state. Like, I go and see chiropractor, I do exercises that have been like prescribed by my PT and chiropractor. I went through like a kind of a bad flare up like this past month, because like I said, yoga is great, except I was kind of a novice, and when we were in classes together it was fine because they would have an instructor and they would come around and assist. And so they would fix your posture.
And the instructor can actually see clearly what everyone's body looks like. Whereas in a Zoom class, it's just kind of like, I guess you look like you're okay.
Exactly. And we're not just here to talk about my body. I did want to ask you a question real quick,
which is like, was that your first experience with like that type of like a more serious injury as an adult?
Oh, yeah. It was my first experience with a more serious injury in general. Like, when I was, like, I've never broken a bone, like, not as a kid. The most serious thing that I dealt with, like, I played tennis and softball when I was younger. It was, like, I had tennis elbow. So, like, I wore a brace and it was fine. And then, like, the most, like, serious injury I ever got for that, where I got, like, some, like, burns from like sliding, if my slide shorts would like slide up, or like I got hit real bad one time by someone who was a pitcher who was really fast but like kind of wild, and like so I had this really gnarly looking bruise on my leg, but like I've never had like a serious like I need to be
like hospitalization type
injury.
I've
never had anything like that. So yeah. This was like my first experience in my life with that, not just in my adult life.
Interesting. I think that's still super relevant to body image in general, though, because I'm thinking about, like, I haven't really had any, I mean, I've been hospitalized for, that's what we'll get into later, but for, like, voluntary surgery reasons. Obviously, I've talked about my breast reduction mm-hmm. surgery, but as an adult, I guess the only, like, I haven't really had many injury experiences, except for just, like, the fact that I have a fucked up shoulder, which is, like, literally from having my pre-breast reduction boobs. Like, that's mm-hmm. from years of stress on my shoulders. And my left one was weaker, so it took the brunt of all that stress, and it's still messed up to this day.
I mean, I guess the thing that, like, really my injury did was, like, I was already kind of on, like, I was starting a journey to being better physical health in general.
Yeah.
But I got really fixated on the weight loss portion of that, yeah. which I've kind of been, like, I think I talked about last body image issue where it's, like, my grandma was, like, basically taking speed to stay skinny.
Hoo dang! Oh my god. It's like the mom in Requiem for a Dream.
And like,
I mean, I'm not trying to say that your grandma was like that, but
I mean, to her dying day, basically, like, she weighed like 90 something pounds. She had Parkinson's, so mentally at the end she was not all that there, but like yeah. the doctor would be like, you need to try to put on weight, and my mom yeah. would have been in the room with her with the doctor, and my grandma would try to be like, oh well, the doctor said I should lose weight. Like, and my mom would be like, I was there, mom. He didn't say that. The
doctor
said
literally
said
the opposite.
Gain weight.
Yeah.
And, you know, and, like, my grandma passed on, like, some shitty eating habits to my mom. And, like my grandma would hide food from my mom. And, like, my mom, when we were growing up, definitely didn't say she was hiding food. But food was up, like, in higher shelves. And yeah. then, like, I was the youngest kid at Weight Watchers, like,
yeah,
because I was a kid at Weight Watchers, so I was obviously young. Like, we went when I was in seventh grade, and then I did, like, Jenny Craig my senior year of high school.
Yeah.
So, it's just, like, I was, and then, you know, culture. But, like,
that's the whole thing.
I spent a lot of my life trying to lose weight and not necessarily thinking about my body and how strong it is. And yeah. then, you know, my back injury made me think about losing weight in a different way, except it always sort of went back to this unhealthy way.
Yeah.
So, you know, just, like, my relationship to my body has changed. The relationship to the way that I think about food has changed. And, like, I think I'm a bit more, you know, I've been hearing a lot of people, like, post or say things about how they're trying to be, like, gentler with themselves.
Yeah.
And, like, I think I'm getting to that point where, like, if I look at, like, my legs and my arms, I'm like, ugh, that's fat. And I'm like, well, yes, let's try to rephrase that. My arms are able to hug, or my arms are able to, like, do these, like, they're able to lift things, and they're able yeah. to, and my legs power me forward. So, like, I try to think of it more in, like, not even positive. It's body neutrality.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, like, not assigning a value to a physical feature of your body.
Yeah.
That is, like, not tying that value into the appearance or
right.
the amount of fat on that part of your body or the amount of muscle on that part of your body. Because I think it goes both ways. You know, it's not just like, you know, I like lifting and I like the amount of muscle I have in my body, but I also try to not, like, hyper-focus on that either, because any level, I just try to stay within a space of, like, moderation and appreciating my body and what it can do, but not assigning a huge amount of value to any one thing or trait, yeah. because it's all like literally my body is temporary. It's not going to be this way in 10 years. Like, I can take care of it, but I'm not going to, like, you know, if I wake up every day and I'm like, oh, you know, my boobs are, gravity hasn't started having a huge effect on my boobs yet. And if I, like, if that's my favorite thing about my body, well, that's sad for me because it's not going to be that way in another 20 years.
And that's the interesting thing is that, like, so for my industry, like, I like my current GP right now because she's like, because she isn't so much focused on like the number. She's like,
yeah,
how are you feeling? What do your like blood numbers look? She's a lot less focused on the weight, but yeah. she was like, if you're still having back problems, then, you know, losing weight will help. And so
yeah.
it's interesting to be trying to stay body neutral, but also trying to lose weight at the same time. And, like, yeah. it's a whole other wrinkle thrown in when you're planning for a wedding. Like, I started looking at wedding dresses.
Yeah, I was just gonna ask you about that. Like, take me on that ride.
God. Okay, so I am, like, a size 16. Mm-hmm. The average American woman is a size 14. And
again, let's just repeat that again, because I really want to, like, make sure that everyone hears that, because there's much misunderstanding around that.
The average woman is a size 14. I don't know what size 14 that is, because then there's not a standard.
Right. The fashion industry has all kinds of weird sizing things. Well, I will say, so like, when I first, for fans who are listening, who are familiar with me and how I've looked over the years, when I first started in the porn industry, I'm pretty sure I was a size 12, like, in pants or whatever. And so, I mean, and I've been a size 14. Like, I was a size 14 through basically all of high school. So, mm-hmm. like...
Even,
you know, yeah.
And then that it's so interesting for me to think about when it's put like that, because even when I was at my lowest weight, I was still a size 12. I probably, you know, like, I weighed a lot less, but like, and that was maybe at my lowest weight that, like, when I was actually thinking about it, I was like 15 pounds off from, like, the top of, like, the BMI for my height.
Yeah.
And I was still a size 12. Like, I'm net, like, even if I get to, like, what BMI says is healthy for me, like, yeah. I'm probably, I will always be double digit size-wise. It's just, like, yeah. how I'm proportioned and how my body likes to hold the fat, I guess. You
could. Yeah. I have a little bit of that, too. Like,
yeah.
I think currently I'm a size 8 or around there. I don't generally, like, think of it in terms of the pant sizes. I mean, it helps as, like, a general, like, a guideline, but, mm-hmm. But yeah, same thing. At the smallest women in my family are, like, I don't think there's anyone in my family who's a smaller than a size 6 that's, like, an adult. It's just yeah. not happening. Even, like, the most quote-unquote fit women in my family are still, like, a size 8. And then, yeah, BMIs also, like, can be problematic for, like...
BMI is whack.
So, well, technically, my BMI currently puts me, like, really high up on the overweight category, but the thing with BMI is it doesn't account for muscle mass
yeah.
at all. So if you're a person with a good amount of muscle mass, like, it's just gonna not take that into account, and it'll put you higher on a BMI chart. But anyway, that's an aside. Back to wedding dress shopping.
So I went to, like, a chain wedding dress store for, like, the first time I tried on wedding dress, which was literally, like, 3 weeks ago.
You didn't get to go to the, was it Kleinfeld? What's it called? Place in New York that we were supposed to do a special edition live from.
We were gonna live tweet from Kleinfeld. So sad.
Fuck COVID, man. Ruining your wedding dress shopping trip in New York.
Yeah. But so Jude and I went to like this chain place, and like the experience was fine. I would actually say they had more sizes in stock that were like available. I would say, like, actually, I had like a total breakdown after we left. Mm-hmm. It was like, I looked super cute. Like, I did my makeup so that, like, if I took pictures, like, I didn't look like a slob. I didn't look like a slob who hadn't left the house for, like, a week. And, you know, they were really nice, and they had more size selections. So, except even then, like, maybe I had to try on, like, a 22 or a 24, and then they had to, like, chip clip it and adjust it to, like...
Yeah.
Fit me.
Aren't wedding, so I don't know anything about wedding dresses or wedding plan or anything wedding-y, but is it true, I think I've heard or read this somewhere, that wedding dresses have, like, their completely own sizing system? Like, it's not even related to what we think of as, like, street clothes?
I don't necessarily know about that. I know that even though I'm, like, a size 16 or like an extra large or 1X in most sizes and most like brands. I'm like a size 20 or 22 in wedding dress sizes, except that I'm also a size 16 and 18 in wedding dress sizes. I think it just depends.
Oh God.
It's sort of like
so confusing.
It's really confusing.
I'm sorry, but I don't know if it's any easier for men, but I just think shopping for women's clothes is just a harrowing journey of confusion.
I had a total breakdown, not because of like sizing or anything, but because I think I had a very different vision in my head about what trying on wedding dresses for the first time would be. Like my first time doing it was supposed to be like with you and my mom and my brother and Jude at Kleinfeld's. And then, so then me and Jude and my mom and my maid of honor went to a place 2 weeks ago, and it was more of a boutique. And like that was very different and it was different in like a good way, but also some bad ways. So like the chain place had a lot more, like, basically every dress that they could, they had the extended size, which extended sizing is, like, 16 and up.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, again, this would have been, like, either way, my experience would have been much more difficult if I was, like, a size 24 or, like, 24 and up. Like, if I was a size 28, I would, like, I wouldn't have been able to try something on and really, like, see it on me. Yeah. Like, some of the things that I tried on, they had to do, like, a modesty panel in the back. So it didn't fit me. Like, I was trying on a size 2, but because it was a princess gown, I could get it.
What's a princess gown? Like a ball gown?
Yeah, like ball gown.
Like Cinderella kind of?
Yeah, like ball gown, princessy tutu. I could get it on, except it didn't fit my boobs. It didn't, like, it didn't fit anywhere, but, like, you could, I guess, see what it looked like.
So it's, like, a vague hint at what this dress would look like on you.
Exactly. And, you know, and so they had, like, a limited amount of size of gowns that, or dresses that they had in extended sizes versus what they had in, like, straight sizes, and even then, like, their straight sizes were, like, a size 4, so, like, if you're a size 8, it's still, but, you know, I was with my mom, I was with my maid of honor, I was with Jude, even though my mom said that Jude wasn't allowed to speak his opinion, because he shouldn't even be there, because oh my God. Bad luck, even though we definitely had that discussion when he was going to be there at Kleinfeld's, and I was like, Mom, if we do a first look, it doesn't matter, because then he's seeing me before we get married anyway. And she was like, I guess you're right, but I guess she forgot about that. So like, I didn't leave feeling bad about my body or anything. I left feeling kind of like sad that I couldn't try on some dresses that I wanted to try on. Yeah. And like the cool thing, like this was a little boutique. They're really nice. And like, I mean, the owners themselves were really nice. Like, and the people who worked there were really nice and really respectful mm-hmm. of like wearing a mask and like asking if they like, and helping you get the dresses on and everything.
Yeah.
But the cool thing about it, but also kind of the sad thing to me at least, was that she told me that the reason why they don't have more extended sizes, they're like, actually, yes, this brand does do extended sizing, but most brands in the wedding industry, if you want to order those dresses,
mm-hmm.
you have to like order in bulk, basically. Like you have to, like they will only allow. Oh, so God. Like, if a wedding dress is like 1,000 to $1,500,
yeah,
they're like, cool, let me order the extended size in this month so that more people can try it on and actually like get a better idea versus putting yeah. on the size 4 with a modesty panel.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, so you have to order X amount of inventory before we will send out an extended sample size for you. So she didn't say what that
like
was.
Gatekeeping the sizes that like anything above a 14 or whatever that brand yeah. considers their extended size range.
Yeah, basically.
Oh, God.
So
which is wild because the average size is already in the
size 14,
quote unquote, extended size range.
Like, so it depends on the brand though. Like 14 is either the top range of your standard sizing or it's the beginning of your extended size. Most of the time,
Rachel,
it's the
almost
top
seems
of your...
like the wedding industry is trying to pressure women into losing weight to fit into a fucking wedding dress.
Yeah,
you know, like our culture is doing that.
Well, yes. But, I mean, but, okay, here's the thing I will say is that, you know, the cool thing about it is that she was like, we work with a bunch of other different boutiques, so, like, while we might not have an extended size in that, they might, and we kind of, like, they trade. So yeah. It's, like, small business owners supporting small business owners, which is cool. Yeah. I'm actually not doing any of that. I decided quickly that I didn't think I was gonna get what I wanted from that, and so I'm actually going custom.
Fuck yeah, which I think
working.
Is super cool.
She's so cool. She's this designer out in Indianapolis. Her name's Leila, and it's Curvy Custom Couture. And like, so she and I met with her not last week, the weekend before, so like 2 weeks ago. I went to all these places knowing I was doing this. I just never tried on a dress. But yeah. Like if I had found a dress at the chain store or the boutique, I would have just canceled with Layla yeah. and been like, I found the dress, but I didn't find the dress.
Yeah.
So I still met with Layla. And, you know, she has like lots of experience with wedding industry stuff, and she's like, the thing that people don't realize is like the proportions that they make the dresses
mm-hmm.
are for like a certain person, like maybe like someone who is 5'6" and like their bust hits a certain way and their hips are a certain way. She's yeah. like, I designed the dress so that it is the length of you, so even if you go up, even if your weight fluctuates 20 pounds whichever way,
yeah,
the proportion of your like shoulders to your hips
yeah
is consistent. That doesn't change.
Yeah.
So
yeah, like your bones aren't going to
basically
you lose weight, your shoulders aren't gonna get narrower.
Yeah. So I feel really good about it. Like It was the first time that, like, I felt like someone was, like, not respecting my body. Because, like, definitely at the boutique that I went to, like, I felt like I was shown a lot of respect.
Well, by the people, but
like,
I mean,
by the
maybe the
yeah.
the yeah. fashion industry isn't really respecting people shopping.
Yeah, for I guess those
dresses.
I guess that's it. Like, I felt like I was, like, my body was being respected not just as, like, a number on a scale or, like, a number, like, of inches around, like, my waist and my bust line, but, like, as a person who just so happens that I have to inhabit a body because we haven't hit, like, Futurama levels where I can just be a jar.
Yeah.
Like, a head in a jar.
We are not just, you know, we're not able to inhabit a spirit orb.
Yeah. We're not there yet. which, like, as soon as we are, I'm there. as soon as I can just inhabit a non-physical form, mm-hmm. I'm with it.
I'm with it too. I'll be in the first spirit realm porn.
God, what do you think that porn would be like if you didn't have a physical form?
Oh God, I don't know. I feel like it would just be a lot of like macaroni in a pot noises or something. Like just a lot of the similar elements, just no bodies.
Is that what
slightly disturbing to think about.
Is that what Dipsia is? Have you ever gotten advertisements for that? It's like Audible, but for porn.
Oh, okay.
I guess.
Yeah, okay.
Except it's like stories that they read. I don't know.
So like audiobook erotica almost.
I guess. I don't know. I get advertisements for it, but it was far too heteronormative for me. So I didn't invest much time in looking at it. It's been weird inhabiting a bunch of different spaces where your body is on display and I'm not even on film.
Yeah. And so, I mean, correct me if I'm just assuming things incorrectly here. But you're not probably used to that, right? Like, that's...
Oh,
you don't typically go into a dressing room and have however many people observing you trying on a thing. Like,
I don't even typically, like, in pre-pandemic times, if I went shopping, like, I didn't even typically have someone with me because I'm an adult and I can drive myself to a store.
Oh, wait,
like,
you can?
Like, I'm an independent person. So, like, I can drive myself to a store, like, if I decided that was where I wanted to shop, which most of the time it wasn't, because the internet exists.
Yeah.
But, like, I wasn't even used to that. Like, it was so different. And I did think about using, because I'd be like, oh my god, I can't imagine what it must be like to be so on display.
Yeah. That's the kind of the funny part about doing porn is I don't necessarily really, like, think about that part of it. The being on display thing, at least not when I'm, like, on a porn set, because in a lot of ways, I just go into, like, work mode mentally. Mm-hmm. So I don't actually, in that scenario, it's very rare that I think about what, I think about what my body looks like, yes, in the sense of, like, when we're doing photos and we're doing stills and, like, I am modeling, like, my job in that moment is to just be a model and depose my body. And so I think about how I look in that sense. But it's not, like, in a critical way, you know? It's just, like, in a, like, oh, does it look like I have, like, an extra arm coming out of my head because I'm posing in a weird way. Like, it's a very utilitarian way of of viewing my own body. But most of my moments of, like, of thinking or when I do have feelings of, like, insecurity about my body, it's usually very much, I assume, in the way that most other people, especially women, do, which is... you know, I'll, like, compare myself to someone that I see when I'm scrolling through social media or something like mm-hmm. that. Like, it's funny because I have this, in a way, doing sex work and being a well-known porn star is not, in freeing in a lot of ways. I'm trying to figure out how I'm trying to say this, but it's like I give myself the mental space. I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm Siri Doll. I'm this porn star. Like, this is my brand. I'm known for being, like, a thick girl. Like, that's fine. I have all that space to be that. But then when I'm not in work mode, that's when I can get a little bit, like, weird in my head, like, insecure about my body.
So now I have a question.
Yeah.
That being said, so did you get liposuction for Adrian or for Siri Doll?
I did it for Siri. Yeah, I didn't do it for Adrian.
We should probably talk about how you got liposuction.
We just jumped right into it. There we go, Rachel.
Yeah, I just felt that we should be, there should be absolutely, there's no way to like.
There's really no segue into that.
Go into that, so let's just barrel through like the Kool-Aid man.
Barrel through it. Yeah, so I've officially at this point now had two cosmetic surgeries because everyone already knows I had breast reduction surgery back in 2015 before I had returned to porn. And that was 100% just for Adrian. That was for me. I've wanted to do that since I was like 15. However,
since I met you, I feel like it was one of our first discussions where you were like, ugh, I can't wait to get rid of these flesh sacks on my chest.
Literally. Yes. Yeah. And there are so many porn fans in the world that are like so disappointed. I still get comments all the time about salty people who are like, oh, why'd you get rid of your boobs? And I'm like, You take some H-cup boobs, sir, and walk around with them. Like, you wouldn't last 3 days.
I'm in E-cup. I can't imagine being any bigger.
Yeah, it's
And I have back problems, so I can't imagine what back problems as an H-cup would have been like.
Yeah, I never had my big boobs never gave me, like, back problems, but and I think it's just because of my build. Like, I have really wide hips. I have really narrow shoulders, and I'm tall and have, like, a short torso. So, like, I have a strong-ass back, but I have very weak shoulders that are susceptible to injury. And, yeah, so that's where my, like, left shoulder being real messed up comes from. That and then I made it worse by playing rugby. But, but yeah, so back
where,
to...
Where my, did you what? Get... What did you get liposuctioned?
Essentially just the decision to get liposuction, which I got like on my lower abdomen and like right on my hips. So essentially it's just like they remove some fat that's in between your God, I wish I knew more anatomical stuff, but it's like subcutaneous fat. You know, there's two different types of fat. So like with liposuction, they can't remove the really deep fat that's like underneath, like buried inside your organs kind of. So then that's one thing that they do consultations for. So I had to, like, schedule a consultation, and I knew I was interested in doing it, mainly just because it would make certain things fit me a little bit better. It would make, I felt like doing photo shoots and stuff, like, it creates, like, a little bit of a smoother silhouette. So it's, I mean, absolutely it is completely, vain. Like, I mean, there's no way around that. Like, it's not like I did this just for, you know, spiritual reasons. Like, it's an incredibly,
you didn't go to your priest and you were like, my priest. Father, for I have sinned. I am thinking about getting liposuction. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I don't care. I didn't, it was entirely a decision that I came to on my own. I thought about it and thought about the upsides, the downsides. And for me, there really weren't any downsides other than just like, it is invasive.
It's
and
surgery.
There's,
and it's
surgery. Yeah. I was recovery really, for it.
I was really mad when you.
Yeah, you were. It. You were like, you didn't tell me. Not because I told you was, after I'd done
it. It was literally just because, here's the thing. Adrian did not tell me she was going to get liposuction.
Which meant I'm going under full anesthesia.
Under full anesthesia. I didn't know until the day after. And I was like, I started like crying. And I was like, oh my God.
I did not know that you were crying. Oh my God.
I was like full of crying. And Jude was like, are you okay? And I was like, Adrian didn't tell me that she was doing this. And what if something had happened?
To be fair, I didn't really tell anyone. Like,
I know, and that
no one else in my life knows.
That did not make me feel any better.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to anyone who's listening to this, who's like a family member, which I don't even know at this point if anyone in my family listened to this, but if, you know.
Your cousin does.
Yeah, I do. I know one of my cousins does. But if anyone else is listening to this and you're upset that I didn't tell you, like, I don't feel like I owe people that information. Now, Rachel, I understand your perspective because you're like, we see each other regularly and you're like, dude, you are under full anesthesia. Like, you know, I told my roommate and my boyfriend.
Yeah, it was literally just that, like, I was like, oh, God, something could have happened. Or I was like, oh, I would have, like, you know, made sure to, like, go and get groceries for you or, like, you know, done something like that. It was just all from, like, I wanted to take care of you.
Oh.
And I was like,
well, you're sweet.
No, I can't do that.
Well, it was also during quarantine anyway. This was when I got it done. It was at the end of May. And that was after I had the consultation initially with them back in March. So, and because they were closed, they were doing consultation through Zoom. So I did a consultation with the surgeon. And then 2 months later, the surgeon sent me an email. Was like, hey, our office is going to open back up just for like appointment only, like with people who had pre-existing consultations and were like approved to do this. So if you would like to schedule it, then you can. So I basically did it the last week of May.
Where'd you go? You can bleep it out.
I went to.
Oh yeah, that's where my mom gets and continues to get all of her work done. It's where she got her implants.
I mean, it's really good. It's like the best reviewed place in town. So the recovery time was like, so that actually was a thing I was surprised by, given that I have already done a very invasive surgery, reduction surgery.
You've said it was worse.
Recovery was worse than the breast reduction surgery, but let me describe why. Like, because with liposuction, they are literally cutting a little incision in your skin and going in with like a little scalpel thing that scrapes the fat from between the skin and the muscle layer, and then they have another little tube that's like, and sucks it out. And so imagine, that's why the recovery is so weird. There's fluid drainage, it's really gross, like, and then on top of it, you have to wear compression garments because your fucking skin and muscle layer are, like, separated from each other because there used to be a layer of fat between them. And so you have to wear these compression garments to, like, squeeze them back together, like, to get your skin back in place. It's very weird. And there was definitely a point during recovery that I was like, what have I done? This is,
like... Yeah, you were having, like, some weird thoughts about it. Like, you were what have I done? Why did I do this?
Yeah.
You don't see what it looks like immediately.
You don't, because your body has been through a huge trauma. It's swelling. Like, the surgeon was like, just don't be nice to yourself. Like, don't be too hard on yourself, because this is not, like, people think, and that's one thing that I'm actually kind of amazed by that I found out because I did it, is that people kind of think of plastic surgery such as liposuction as a shortcut to getting, you know, some sort of ideal body. And, like, actually, really, it's not. In fact, I have had to almost work harder to like maintain results that I got from like having this fat artificially removed from my body in very hard to reach spots. Like, that's why I did it, essentially, is because I was like, it doesn't matter. Like, I would like this one part of my body to be slightly different, and it will never happen like any other way, because I am a person who's absolutely not going to commit, like, you know, 60 hours a week to going to the gym, which is essentially what I would have to do, because my body wants to hold on to fat in that spot.
I think you were also, like, kind of sad, because I don't know if they really prepared you for, like, how much time you would be out, but, like, you really like to work. You get enjoyment from it, not just because of...
It's a mental health thing for me. Yeah. Literally more than a physical thing. Like,
So you went through some shit.
I did. And I mean, in some ways it was like, I think still because of everything being shut down, doing it when I did it was the best it could have gotten, because I was already in a position where, because my gym was literally closed, I couldn't have worked out anyway. But that being said, like, you know, it's kind of what I was getting at, is people think of a plastic surgery like that as this like magic bullet, and it's not, because you Like, for example, it's not like I had this fat removed from my body and now I go back to like, oh, I'm gonna like eat whatever I want. Like, I still have to be just as, or not have to be, but I choose to be just as mindful about what I'm putting in my body and how I'm treating it as I was before. So it's not, it is in some ways a shortcut because, you know, I've always had this like just pocket of fat on my lower belly that has always just hung out there. And it honestly, what it comes down to is just being competitive. That sounds super shallow and I'm aware that it is, but also at the same time, I'm like, it's my business. Like,
yeah, I was about to say, I don't think it sounds shallow. I just think it's like interesting to put like the commodification of your body in such a way.
I think of it similarly to like a stripper getting implants.
Well,
there they get implants. You can actually, I mean, there are records of like strippers putting their implant surgery as a tax deduction because it immediately raises your income. Like,
well, so Sarah Michelle Gellar,
yeah,
who, you know, Buffy fame.
Buffy.
Like, kind of, like, always on the small side. She's, like, a petite person. She's an ambassador for Cool Sculpting. So I follow her.
Oh, yeah.
Buffy. And so, like, on September 3rd, she put up a hashtag ad for Cool Sculpting. You know, she said, anyone who knows me knows I take diet and exercise very seriously, but sometimes that is just not enough. Through body contouring, I was able to target those specific areas with an incredible result. With only an hour of my time, I even managed to get through a few chapters in the book I was reading. So you know that's a win for me. Hashtag ad. But like, you know, like a lot of celebrities or like people who their image is part of, you know, how they get jobs, whether that's like in porn or through acting or like, you know, a lot of it is like, I am blessed with genetics, like,
yeah,
whatever.
But there's definitely a lot of that.
There's a lot of that. But I think it's really good when people admit like, no, I've had some work done. Like,
that's exactly why I wanted to just have this episode and bring it up and talk about it, because I know that some people notice, because when someone gets liposuction, you can usually see the little incision points. And you can on me, like I have two little incision points above my butt. So one thing that also really surprised me after I did it and realizing like where my little scars are on my body is I thought back and realized all the times that I've been on set with other women who are performers, all the like, and it finally hit me like, oh my God, this is so common. Like I never realized how common it is before because no one ever fucking talks about it. But like, I don't know how common it is for women in porn or any other entertainment industry to do, like, body contouring, like, such as a Cool Sculpting type thing, or doing liposuction, but I will just say right now, it is probably more the norm than it is not. And that is one of the reasons why I'm like, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, I got to a spot where I was like, I know this will have more of a positive effect on my business than anything else. Like, I can afford to do it right now. And I just, for me, there's really like no downside. A lot of people tend to like have this image of like, oh, how can you be a feminist and then go do these plastic surgeries?
I don't know. It's just, you can inhabit multiple categories at once.
Yeah.
There doesn't have to be a deeper thing behind it. Like, how can I be a feminist and also get plastic surgery? I don't know. Because
it doesn't really matter to me, ultimately, I guess. Is like, because I don't feel like I need to prove being a feminist. And so it just annoys me that, like, anyone would put that on me or anyone else.
I don't think it's on you as a singular person to change. Because I think what people say, like, how can you do that if you are a feminist? And also, like, how can you, like, change your body to get more jobs if like you want to change the way that industry views by and like the bodies that the industry uses.
Yeah.
Like, but it's the same time that you can be aware of that. Like, unless you are going to leave the industry or you get capital to start doing your own productions in a way that you can start casting people who are,
yeah,
who are not buff guy with a big dick and woman with big tits,
right,
and a big butt. Like, you have to somehow stay competitive to keep a job.
Yeah.
So these realities,
part of it.
These realities can exist in the same world.
Yeah. And I don't see it as kind of what I was saying earlier, is like, I'm not attaching my worth to this part of my body. So for me, deciding to get liposuction was not a decision of like, oh, I'll be so much happier. Like, I'll finally accept my body. It's like, no, that's not literally, doesn't really have much to do with it. It's more like, I'm going to be able to wear certain types of clothes better. it will look better on film. And by better, I mean, yes, like, it will fit more in line with what is expected by, essentially by porn companies, of someone who does my job. And so that is the part where I'm like, yeah, that's, I don't like that very much. But also, like, it's kind of a decision that I made that I'm okay with playing that game to a certain extent, right? Like, there are ways that I'm willing to, like, kind of fit into a mold of a porn star, and there are some ways that I am not. And a great example is, like, the surgeon asked me when we were doing the, actually, it wasn't even the consultation, because I'd already done the consultation for the liposuction. This was the day of the surgery, and he was marking up my body for, like, where he's going to put the incisions and stuff. And he asked me, and I found this, it boggled my mind because it was so last minute. He was like, oh, did you want us to transfer the fat to your butt? You know, that's super popular. Like, we can do that if you want. And which is also known as a Brazilian butt lift. It's where they take fat out of your stomach and they transfer it to your butt. And that was the line for me. I was like, no. Like, I was almost offended that he asked.
You were like, I just would like it.
Yeah, I was like, no, I don't want you to put the... I like my butt exactly how it is. Like, my butt got this big from working my literal ass off, like, doing deadlifts and squats, and, like, I like that. That's what I want to keep, is, like, that's my happy area back there, and I don't want to touch it. So it's just interesting to me how, like, that's where my line is, but someone else in my industry would have a totally different perspective on that.
Yeah.
So it's personal decisions, you know? Yeah. And I guess what I'm trying to get across with this episode is just that body image encompasses a lot more, I think, than what we think of it as being. I think it gets reduced a lot of the time to, like, the emotions you feel when you look in a mirror. But I think there's a lot more going on than that.
I think there's a lot more.
Yeah.
Speaking of my body, I'm...
You're stretching.
I had to get up and stretch.
All this talk of bodies is making us need to stretch. Because I've also been, like, doing weird little back twisty, like, stretching things.
So if it sounds different, it's because I'm stretching.
Unless you have anything you want to add, I thought we could wrap up with me sharing this cool little resource from a book that I have that's about body image.
Check out Curvy Custom Bride on Instagram if you want to see her.
Curvy Custom stuff. Bride on Instagram.
Her stuff is just really pretty, and she's gay and cool.
Ooh, she's gay and cool. I love a gay wedding dress designer.
She's designing her dress and her bride-to-be's dress. They're getting married in, like,
I love that.
A few months.
That's really good. So I have a book that I have been reading, and it's like a reference. It's like one of those books that's like a reference guide. You, like, pick it up, you read a chapter here, and you put it back down. It's not a novel. But it's called Beyond Beautiful by Anoushka Rees. It actually, a fan bought this for me off. I put it on my Amazon wish list like a year ago, and someone bought it for me.
Aww.
So
did they buy two copies?
They did not, but you can borrow this one.
Okay.
So it's a fantastic book. It's just a really good resource guide. It's definitely aimed toward women, but I mean, literally everything in this book is applicable to everybody. It's got a whole bunch, like, it kicks off by literally discussing that difference between, like, self-esteem and self-worth. Meaning, like, self-worth is how you value yourself, and it can be dangerous mentally to attach that to your image, to your body image, and to your physical body. So that's kind of what I was trying to say at the beginning. And then self-esteem is kind of similar, but, so it's just got these exercises throughout that I really like. And every once in a while I'll sit down and I'll do one of these. And my favorite so far, one of my favorites is there's a whole section about social media, and there's this little exercise that's how to stop feeling Instagram inadequate. And it is literally targeted toward people who are on social media and do the awful self-comparison that we all do sooner or later on social media, especially for me in my industry, because everything is so image-based. And obviously on my, like, Siri, the real Siri.ps Instagram account, most of the people I follow are also porn people. And so I definitely have those days where I'm scrolling through and I'll be like, you know, doing self-comparison with someone else and then I catch myself going like, that doesn't make sense. Like there's no reason that I don't want what this person has. It's just that social media puts you in that mindset where you're constantly like overanalyzing, and it's just this passive consumption of images, and it can just plant itself in your mind.
Even I do that, because it's like I follow a bunch of accounts that like resell plus size clothing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ugh, am I the right kind of fat? Like,
yeah. Oh my God. Like, yes. Ugh. Yeah.
And I don't just mean like an hourglass figure type fat, but like,
yeah.
I do think most, like, I'm like, ugh, I'm so short. I get really hung up on my height, even though 5'4" is the average.
Yeah.
I get hung up on it, and that's actually what I think about more in relative to my, and it's relative to my weight.
Yeah.
That's what I get hung up on when I think, am I the right type of fat person?
Right. Well, I've noticed about a lot of plus size models especially on social media and Instagram, and I'm also thinking about like when big brands start a, like, you know, Fashion Nova or whatever, like, they'll add, like, a plus-size section, and then the models that they hire to model these plus-size clothes are, like, essentially just the same, like, beauty standard. Mm-hmm. It's...
Yeah, they're just, you know, a size 10 or 12.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just...
They're not even... doesn't even go here.
She's a straight size. Get her out.
She's a straight size.
So there's just five steps here, and I'm going to read them real quick because they're super handy. So how to stop feeling Instagram inadequate. Follow these five steps. Follow these five tricks to stop feeling Instagram. It actually doesn't say that. It says here are five aspects you can investigate to stop what you're doing and analyze your mental state if you are mindlessly scrolling on social media and have some of those feelings of inadequacy or discomfort in your own skin.
Which, God, one, who isn't mindlessly scrolling right now?
I know. One, purpose. Ask yourself, why did this account or this person decide to post this photo, and what response are they hoping for? Two, message. What is the overt message of this photo? For example, I feel so lucky to be able to witness this beautiful sunset. Hashtag blessed. What is the subliminal message of this photo? And then in parentheses, I can afford expensive vacations. Three, production. Who took this photo? Is the person in it lost in thoughts, or is she concentrating on holding what looks like a pretty uncomfortable pose? Which, if you look at my Instagram, most of my photos are the latter. It's me concentrating on holding an uncomfortable pose. Where was the shot taken? What does the scene, or does the scene look real or carefully arranged? What about the lighting and the editing? Four, meaning. Based on the picture, what can you really infer about this person and her life? Does the shot of this gorgeous lady with ripped abs and capped shoulders mean her life is nothing but sunshine and rainbows? Or does it simply mean that she spends a lot of time in the gym and knows how to pose, but probably still goes through the same ups and downs as everyone else? 5, relevance. Social media tricks aside, the reality is that there will always be people who have what you want, whether that is confidence, an amazing career, a loving relationship, whatever. But does their attainment in that one area take away from your ability to be happy and successful and reach your goals as well? Nope, it has zero relevance.
Love it.
So, yeah, I love that this book has all these exercises like that. They're fantastic. And it's like just really nice to take a step back and get some perspective on that. So that I highly recommend reading that book.
Harry Shum Jr. Posted a thirst trap of him and his ads, and it just said register to vote as the caption. So I'm kind of here for really pretty people. Like, and I don't just mean he's pretty because he has abs. He's pretty because he's pretty. Go look at him. He's gorgeous. But
I'm
here for really pretty people posting thirst traps with the captions. Don't forget to register to vote.
Thank you for the tip. I'm going to do that literally as soon as we get off the podcast recording. I'm serious. I will. And I'm going to use my, I'm going to use that Instagram power I have where I get the ability to do swipe up links. I'm going to use that power for good. So we've got a little voicemail to play from a fan who listened to one of our most recent episodes.
I'm so excited. Oh, and then I have an update about something.
Do you want to do the update first and then
we'll post the link in the story, but someone in Kentucky did get arrested for having a fake license plate that they
Oh my god. So my fucking my roommate sent me that article.
I sent you
And
that
it was not
too.
Me. It was it not was, me with
and
the
it
fake
was not
license plate.
Adrian. And that's all. Now we can listen to we'll include it in the show notes if you're interested in seeing what it looked like.
Although, it kind of made me sad. Like, I'm not saying I wish I got arrested for accidentally driving with a fake hand-drawn license plate. I'm just saying that, like, if it were me and it was the license plate that I drew, it would have been a much more entertaining news story because it would have said eat ass on it.
Also, you definitely would have gotten, like, a ton of more traffic because people would have been like, who's Siri Dahl?
That's very true.
I don't know. Damn it, you should have been arrested.
No. I mean, I'm not gonna taunt fate here. I'm happy that I was not arrested. All right, let's listen to a message from one of our listeners who listened to our episode about sex ed, and we were talking about what was your sex ed like in school?
Hey, y'all, Jesse from Alabama. Sorry if my audio is bad. I'm driving in the car currently because I have a 2-hour drive to work, so I listen to a lot of podcasts, and yours as well, one of the best ones. I digress. In a recent episode, y'all asked the question, what was your sex ed in school? I'm from Alabama, as mentioned, so you hear me saying y'all a lot, but also, this is the buckle of the Bible Belt. Yay! So we didn't we got taught sex ed, but it wasn't actually sex ed. What they did was, they said, okay, girls, because, you know, gender binary in the Bible Belt, girls, you're red, boys, you're blue. Do not make the color purple. And that was the end of sex ed. Yeah, they said, don't purple.
That's it. That was like, that's from Jesse, one of our listeners who lives in Alabama.
God,
the buckle of the Bible Belt, as he says, his sex ed was, don't make purple.
God, thank you so much for sharing that, Jesse.
There was a little more in the message. He also said, right after that, he said that there were a lot of teenage pregnancy in his high school. Which is like, yeah, probably, shocking. I think that's like the whole South, pretty much. Yeah.
I mean, also, purple is a beautiful color. Why wouldn't you want to make it?
Yeah, it's just... Mm-mm. I'm trying to make that bisexual flag.
To me, that makes it sound more appealing. I'm like, ooh, I'm going to make purple?
Yeah, like, what about shades of purple? I would have been that asshole in class being like, okay, but can I make magenta? What about fuchsia? Like, I would have been throwing out every shade of purple and just trolling the shit out of the teacher who said that.
Well, Jesse, thank you so much for calling our Google voice number. If you want to call and leave us a message, it's 818-457-6535. Again, that's 818-457-6535. Or maybe send us an email at therealsiri@protonmail.com or therealrachel@protonmail.com. Or you can, you know, tweet at us at afteradult.pod. Or you can DM us at afteradult on Instagram.
Yay! Also, and the Twitter's afteradultpod.
I said afteradultpod.
I thought you said dot pod. I mean, they'll find it. If you start typing in afteradult on Twitter, it pops up. Like, it's not shadow banned. It's very hard to not find.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, anyway, this has been another great episode. Thanks for hanging with us. It's going to run a little... We know this ran a little long, but...
It's fine. I'll probably edit it down a little bit.
Bodies are a very personal subject, so it's hard not to go on and on and on about them.
It is very hard. If you have any comments or anything you want to add or your thoughts about body image to, you know, have us playback or answer a question that you have on a future episode, like, please go ahead and call that number that we mentioned. It's one more time, 818-457-6535. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Bye.
It ain't your goddamn business if she does it for pay. Far from born again, she's doing porn again. This girl's a new creation, even after two kids. She'll change your whole damn life, you just watch one of the vids. Far from born again, she's doing porn again.